I want to begin, as always, with a thank you. We thank our sponsors, once again, Jay and Noah Zwiebel, and Saul and Rebecca Lubetsky. This is our 11th year together, and the initiative and the support from the beginning has come from Jay and his family and Saul and his family. And we welcome Saul, as we do every year, and we thank them both, again, for their initiative and for their generosity. This year, unfortunately, the keynotes are specifically being sponsored in memory of Jay's father, David Zwiebel, Zichron Levracha, who passed away this year. And first and foremost, we hope that our study, our learning, and our hopeful as inspiration and our growth today should be a zechus l'ili nishmaso. And second of all, I can just say on a personal note, while I didn't have the privilege and the pleasure to know Mr. Zwiebel, but you know a lot about a person when you meet their family and certainly when you meet their children. And I can only imagine his many, many wonderful midos tovos, his commitment to the Jewish people, to Eretz Yisrael, and his generosity and his sense of achrayus just by knowing Jay all these years. So you should continue to be a source of nechama for him and a great nachas, and he should be a male tzosher for you, Jay, and your entire family. I want to thank all the people involved in the logistics, our star video team. Are we a star video team this year? Okay. It'll get there, I think, I hope. Are we okay? Let me know. Anyway, there was a tefillah at this point. Thank Yeshiva University for hosting us physically. Thank YU Torah for broadcasting us, we hope. And most importantly, thank all of you who are participating with us. And last but not least, thank my shul and Ramat Beit Shemesh. I assume some of whom, okay, really, I hope all of them are watching. Those who aren't in shul at the moment, those who will be home or those who will get home. And I appreciate the Shituf Pu'ula allowing me to be here. I did get a text that there's no sound on the video. Okay. Okay, we're on. We're live. Last year, around this time, I heard the story, incredible story, of the funeral of the Baba Varebi, Shlomo Halberstam. At the funeral, somebody noticed that there was a non-Jewish man, a black man, who was there, who was actually, it was a little bit surprising to begin with to see him at the funeral, but more surprisingly was that he was visibly emotional, upset, even crying. You don't expect to see that at a Hasidic Rebbe's funeral. Somebody eventually went up to him and questioned him, you know, what brought you here? Why were you so emotional? What was your connection to the Rebbe? So he explained that he has been for many, many years a house painter. And 25 years before this, he had been hired to paint the Rebbe's house. He came in the day before the painting was actually going to start to prime and to prep the house. And while he was doing a little bit of that work, the Rebbe came in and found him and asked him if he had eaten breakfast. So he told him, I really hadn't. So I was shocked, he said, at how kind the Rebbe was. He took me into his kitchen, he fed me, he gave me a nice breakfast, and then he let me go back to my work priming the house. When I came back the next day to begin my actual painting, he said, the Rebbe came over to me and he said, listen, before you start, I just want to tell you one thing. So the man said, I assumed that here comes the speech. Make sure you're careful, make sure you do a good job, don't mess up this, don't spill paint on that, don't break this. But that's not what happened at all. In fact, what the Rebbe said is, I want to let you know, he told the painter, the job does not have to be perfect. Once upon a time, we had a temple in Jerusalem. That was perfect. It was beautiful. It had the right amount of light, colors, materials. But that's no more. Now that is lost. And ever since that was lost, there's nothing in the world that's perfect, and certainly not my house. Do the best you can, and that'll be fine with me. The man was so impressed, he had never had a client to say that to him. He did the best that he could. But there's a PS to the story. So a few months later, word got out. I guess, you know, if you're the painter to the Baba Varebi, it's good for business. So another big rabbi, who's anonymous for the purpose of the story, also hired the same painter. Came in, priming the house, was expecting a breakfast. There was no breakfast. But when he came back the next day to start the actual painting, the rabbi came over and said, "I just want to tell you something." Now the painter assumed he's going to get a whole speech about a temple in Jerusalem. But in fact, this time he said, "You know, I'm paying top dollar. I expect this to be done right. No mistakes, no spills, no scratches." So the black painter was shocked, but he composed himself and he said, "I told that other rabbi, I just want to let you know, you know, you Jews once had a temple in Jerusalem. And the rabbi of Babov told me it was perfect. And that after it was destroyed, nothing else is perfect. I'll do my best." Crying now at the funeral, he said to this person who asked him, pulled out a picture of the Rebbe from his wallet. He said, "This was my rabbi." So I am awed by this story for all the obvious reasons, including because of the fact that just a few years ago, we had the schus to build a house. And I wanted everything to be perfect. I was on top of all of those guys. And when the paint wasn't exactly perfect, when the seam in the wallpaper seemed to show, I was ice mensch. How far am I from the Rebbe Babov? On the off chance that I'm not the only one who's a little bit removed from that high level, that's why we're here. To appreciate as much as we can what we've had, what we lost, and how the current challenges and suffering connect back to those two points. The distance that I, and I imagine many of you, feel is not new. If you take a look at your source sheets, the first source on the sheet comes from the Chiddush HaRim. We're familiar with the Chiddush HaRim, the founder of Ger Chassidus, the mentor and grandfather of the Sfas Emes. Most of what we have is quoted by other people, primarily the Sfas Emes, although there is a small sefer that was put out of Chiddush HaRim ala Torah. But this comes from a different sefer entirely, called the Sefer HaZuchus. And as much as I was able to gather and understand, I believe it was actually written by the Rebbe himself, by the Chiddush HaRim himself. And yet, I'm a little bit confused by this, it doesn't seem to have been published in his lifetime. So I'm not sure exactly the story, but this is a very authentic, first-hand source of the Rebbe's approach to things. And he's commenting on the statement made in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Right in the beginning of Or HaChaim, says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the bold part in the beginning of source number one, "Roy lekol yorei shamayim lios meitzar v'doeg al churban beis hamikdash." It's appropriate for anyone with a fear of heaven, with a religious sensitivity, to be worried, to be concerned, to be upset, to mourn the Churban HaBayis. That's a quote in the Shulchan Aruch. Evidently, the Baba Varebi knew that comment. However, it continues the Chiddush HaRim in his own commentary, and he says something remarkable. When the Shulchan Aruch qualifies, introduces this statement by saying that this is appropriate for all people who are Yirei Shamayim, who are fearful of heaven, who have a religious sensitivity, says the Chiddush HaRim, Kol Shekein Mi She'eino Yarei Shamayim La'amito Shiroi Lios Meitzar Yoter. Say Chiddush HaRim, a tremendous diuk. Shulchan Aruch wasn't coming to say only Yarei Shamayim and nobody else. Adarabba, of course a Yarei Shamayim has to be mourning and worried about the Beis HaMikdash. Kol Shekein V'kal V'chomer, all the more so, someone who is not a Yarei Shamayim has even more work to do. Shekol Dor Shelo Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'yamav, Kilu Necharav B'yamav. It's our fault, it's our responsibility. V'yesh L'kol Echad Chelek B'zeh. So why did the Shulchan Aruch write it the way he did, if really it's on everybody, not just the tzaddikim, not just the babab of rebbis? Rak, he continues, middle of the second line, Kavanoso shlo yitta etz atzmo b'sheker, kishaino margish klal, chisoron beis hamikdash, v'chal hanogea l'klal Yisrael. And here's where the rubber hits the road. This is the insight. Says the Chiddush HaRim, the Shulchan Aruch was being mechaven to is that people, by which I mean me, and maybe some other people, but people who feel distant, who don't feel the pain of the Beis HaMikdash, who don't necessarily truly feel the pain of the Jewish people suffering throughout the Golos, somebody like that could lie to themselves and say, okay, certain things in Shulchan Aruch are applicable to me and others are not. If I'm an Eretz Yisrael, certain halachos apply. If I'm a Kohen or a Levi, other halachos apply. If I'm a man or a woman, other halachos apply. Not everything in the Shulchan Aruch applies to me. So here the Shulchan Aruch said, for a Yarei Shamayim, I should be mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. Since I'm not a Yarei Shamayim, I'll put that in the category of things that don't apply to me. Says the Chiddush HaRim, that would be lying to yourself. Because of course you have as much, if not more, work to do. And here is the famous, this is, when I say it's famous, as often is the case, it's famous because this is paraphrased by Art Scroll. If you have anyone who has the Art Scroll Kinos, if you take a look at the introduction, they quote this idea in English in paraphrase from the Chiddush HaRim. But here now you're getting the original source. What did the Chiddush HaRim say? V'roy lios meitzar v'doeg alze atzmo shesimenu shehumi bechutz achi rachameyo Hashem yizbarach niso leklal Yisrael v'yamargish bechasronam. Says Chiddush HaRim, if you can't mourn the Beis HaMikdash, then mourn over yourself. Mourn over how low, how pitiful, how sad it is that you're a person who can't mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone has something to mourn about today. Everyone has something that they can connect to emotionally. If you can't connect to the Beis HaMikdash, then connect to the fact that you can't connect to the Beis HaMikdash. And notice something which will be a recurring theme in our presentation today as it has been in the past years. The Rebbe himself is not like some modern invention. A lot of Tisha B'Av today is very, very modern in the way we experience it with all the various programs and videos. And I would say mostly it's for good. Mostly. But the idea that people will use Tisha B'Av and the Kinos to not only talk about the Churban, but to speak about the tsaros of the Jewish people, that wasn't a modern invention. That is, you see, in earlier sources, but just to use the example we're studying at the moment, the Chiddush HaRim repeats this explicitly, that connected to Churban HaBayis, connected to the Avoda throughout the year in theory, but certainly on Tisha B'Av, as not only being Doeg U'Meitzar on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Churban HaBayis, but also on the tsaros of Klal Yisrael. Those go hand in hand. Hopefully, if even those of us who can't connect to the Beis HaMikdash so much, at least can feel the pain of our fellow Jews. And if you can't even do that, then you should not have any trouble mourning today. There's a lot to mourn for, because you need to mourn yourself. So says the Chiddush HaRim. Something very, very powerful, and I think something that is very resonant and certainly gives me direction and chizuk for what I hope, personally at least, to be able to accomplish today. To hopefully connect better to the Beis HaMikdash, connect better to the suffering of my fellow Jews, and to the extent that I feel now, and maybe even in a few hours from now, still feel a distance from those two things, to be very cognizant of how lacking I am and to mourn, if not over the Beis HaMikdash, if we can't, then to mourn over ourselves. And that's why we're here, as we do every year, to work on ourselves, to make sure that we don't just survive or make it through a fast, but that hopefully the fast and Tisha B'Av go through us. As I've quoted in the past, the beautiful expression of Rav Huttner, he said about all the Yomim Tovim, and it is relevant to all of them, but certainly to Tisha B'Av, the goal is not that Nish Nach Ayantif Avek, that another year, another Tisha B'Av has gone by, but rather Nurnach Ayantif Harein, that another Yontif, another Tisha B'Av goes in, that we don't just get through Tisha B'Av, but Tisha B'Av hopefully gets and goes through us and makes a lasting impact on who we are.